This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Wood, your host, and we're glad to have you on the program today. If you stuck with us through the break, glad to have you. Glad to have you back. If you're just joining us, welcome to Peace Talk. Our guest today is Peter Hubbard, author of the book Love into Light, The Homosexual, The Gospel, and the Church. This is the subject matter of what we're talking about. And we're talking about it in a way that's intended to, and that's our goal and Pastor Hubbard's goal in the whole book, is to bring peace. Peace to the church in dealing with a very difficult issue, and peace to those who struggle with same-sex attraction. And his book is all about what Peace Talk's all about, finding hope, giving help, and discovering peace. So let's get into it, Pastor Hubbard. You decided at North Hills Community Church, where you pastor, that this was a subject that you wanted the church to know about. And so you took 5 weeks on Sunday morning in the worship service to talk about homosexuality. Number one, did you think you were taking a big chance? And then why did you do it?
Great question. Yes. I felt the Spirit was leading us to do this series as an outgrowth of meeting with individuals who struggle with this area, as well as talking to families who didn't know how to respond, to loved ones who, you know, had come out of the closet and announced that they were homosexual. We felt like our people are not equipped to respond with truth and grace together. And so I went to the elders of our church. We talked about it. We prayed about it. We all agreed we need to do this series. And frankly, I feared that many people would just boycott those 5 weeks. You know, there'd be many people who just wouldn't come. And so we met with parents. We met. We set up children's programs. We talked to parents of middle school and high school to make sure that those parents were coming with their kids, the older kids, and ready to talk through certain questions that would arise. And our people responded amazingly well. I was totally shocked.
Don't you believe, Pastor? And you know, I have been in your services. I've enjoyed the privilege of being in your congregation. That when a congregation, when you deal with a subject in a biblical way, that God's people can deal with it. They really can handle it. Our fears are sometimes based in our worries, like we worry about so many other things. They're just not founded when God's actually leading you to do it.
Yes, I agree. I think I feared their response, but as a pastor, we wrestle with that every week. You know, am I going to say what I think people want to hear, or am I going to say what God says? And either I'm going to be a servant of God or a servant of men. And I really believe, as pastors, we've got to cry out for the Spirit's confidence and boldness to say what he says. But I believe also we can say that with a brokenness and a humility that comes from looking face to face into people's lives who have been shattered by the struggle. And when you have both, yes, people want to know, especially young people today. They're hearing messages every day about homosexuality, and the church often is either, you know, just crying out condemnation or totally silent, and it's time to speak.
Now, in your five messages then, I mean, you mentioned in your book that attendance stayed strong and, mm-hmm. and you know, none of the things that you worried about happened until one day a visitor stood up in a sharing time and in a sense took two steps back in their conversation about homosexuality and some derogatory comments that they made, the kinds that usually get a chuckle mm-hmm. in certain environments. How did your church respond when they heard that?
Yeah, that actually happened a while after the series, and I felt horrible as it was just a passing little joke this guy gave in the middle of sharing something else. And I was amazed at our people. There was not about 700, 800 people per service are in the service. So I thought, I didn't know how people would respond, but there was not one chuckle, not one ripple of laughter. There was just a deathly silence. The church rejected what he said. And that was really encouraging that people knew not to respond that way.
What do you think it did for your church in terms of not only ministry to same-sex attraction individuals, but to dealing with the whole question of sin and openness and authenticity and things like that? How did it affect your church?
I couldn't even recount all the examples of the times where someone would come up to me and say, I was coming to this series not knowing what to expect, and if anything, I thought it was about those people out there, and I saw my own sin more clearly. I saw my own need of grace. And so what began as a series about homosexuality, really, God worked his grace into all of our hearts. And we began to see ourselves all in need of Jesus.
So in a sense, the experience that you had had and you were having as an individual when you came face to face with these attraction, with people with same-sex attraction in counseling, your whole church experienced the same kind of personal involvement now and understanding.
Yes.
Well, how do people who come into your congregation now, they're coming, right? Mm-hmm. They're becoming a part of your church. How are you dealing with that?
It comes on various levels. Like, some people don't know the Lord, and so it's a matter of our people building relationships with them and loving them and sharing the gospel with them. Another interesting way this works itself out is, for example, let me just give you one example of a young man who, during the series, came up after the service and shared with me that he has been struggling with same-sex attraction for many years and has never told anyone. And he shared his struggle with me. We got to pray, and I encouraged him to share with his parents that night. And he went home, and his parents are also in our church. And you might wonder, okay, how are they going to respond? And this is another one of the fruits of this kind of thing. As you learn and grow as a church together, not just the person with the struggle, but the other people respond differently. His parents responded with such grace and such humility. And this is several years ago. I just talked to him recently, and he looked at me. He's a college student now, and he said, I don't know where I would be today if I had not told you and then my parents and gotten help. And those are the kind of stories that motivate me to keep saying the hard things, keep speaking the truth of Jesus with compassion and biblical clarity, because that we don't need to compromise the truth. We need to speak it with a humility.
What would you say then to, your book is written to pastors, but also, you know, just the people in the pew that are sitting there listening. Let's go beyond the effect it's had on your church. And what do you think it reveals about our understanding of the gospel when we deal with same-sex attraction in the way that you've discovered and you're dealing with it in your church? What does it say about the gospel?
Does the gospel apply to even the most, what we would consider to be the most twisted, messy, complicated, addictive habits of life? Or is the gospel just for certain parts of our lives or certain people who aren't all that bad? I think it gets right to the core of what we believe the gospel of Jesus is all about.
And go ahead and explain that a little bit in more detail, because there are people listening who would say, hey, thank you, Pastor, I like that, but when you say the gospel, speak to me right now. Maybe I have a gospel need. I hear what you're saying to me. What should I do with what you're saying to me?
Yeah, when Jesus died and was buried and rose again, and when the Bible says that he died for me, he was buried for me, he rose for me, that when I put my faith in Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection is my death, my burial, and my resurrection, does that have anything to do with the fact that I'm a crack addict, or I'm bound, you know, in pride or anger or anxiety or homosexuality? Does it have anything to do with it? And I would say everything to do with it. Like, Jesus didn't die just to make us better churchgoers. He died to change our hearts. He died to work his grace into the darkest, most twisted, most addictive places in our hearts and lives. And that's the message I want the church to experience and then to proclaim, because our country desperately needs that message.
So what would you say to a pastor who may be wrestling with his own fears about whether to address this matter in his church, with his congregation?
I think we have to begin with our own hearts before God, studying what the Scripture says, soak in who Jesus is. How did he respond to the people in the margins? How did he respond? What did he do about the people in the shadows? And explore that. And then once you begin to see, that's where God is. That's where Jesus was always moving toward the margins, and rather than worrying about what the majority of people think. And then we've set up a loveintolight.com website where we have a pastor's process that walks pastors right through how to have a series like this, how to prepare your kids, what do you need to do to prepare?
You said that kind of quickly. Say it slowly this time. The website that someone can go to get help on how to work and to address these issues in the church?
Loveintolight.com. The book is named Love Into Light. The website is loveintolight.com.
The book is brand new. It's hot off the press. And so you probably, at this point, maybe don't have a lot of feedback from folks. But what is your hope for this book? And what do you hope, if you could have your one wish, and I'll call it that, what would it accomplish?
Well, I'm just begging God to first and foremost change the hearts of his people in this issue. And I believe that as the church experiences this kind of revival, even in a sensitive subject like homosexuality, that will percolate out into the culture and into our country.
Pastor, is there hope for people with same-sex attraction, and is there help, and is there peace?
There is.
And that's the gospel.
The church needs to be at the front line of that.
Our guest today has been Peter Hubbard, Pastor Peter Hubbard, the author of Love Into Light, The Gospel, The Homosexual, and the Church. I trust it's been a blessing to you. Go to the website, loveintolight.com. If you want more help, more information, you can get it there. Thank you for being a part of the program, Pastor Hubbard. And thank you for being a part of the program, those of you who have listened today, because this is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.